Afrikaans in Sydney, number 48, for November 17th, 2006. Hi, my name is Phil Massane, and I'm the host of Afrikaans in Sydney. Today's show is a special one, and also the reason it's in English. On November 16th, 2006, I was privileged to have a personal interview with the director of the new film Catch a Fire, the one and only Philip Noyce. If the name Philip Noyce doesn't mean anything to you, I guess the films Clear and Present Danger, Rabbit Proof Fence, The Quiet American, and The Bone Collector would be just a few to which Philip Noyce has added his personal touch. Let's take a sneak peek at Catch a Fire.
They accused him of a crime.
We have to ask your husband some questions.
He didn't commit.
I am innocent.
But when they threatened his family...
Daddy! What kind of man are you?
He became...
I will make this right.
Everything they feared. Based on a true story...
My friend died!
Yes, woman!
You still want to go on?
My family was punished for nothing. So let it be for something now.
From the director of Rabbit Proof Fence and The Quiet American, Catch a Fire.
Right, we're here with Philip Noyce, director of the film Catch a Fire, starring Tim Roberts and Derek Luke. Mr. Noyce, thank you very much for meeting with me.
It's a pleasure.
Well, just to start off quickly, can you please tell my audience, what is Catch a Fire all about?
Catch a Fire is the story of two South Africans who love their family and love their country. But the problem for both of them is that it's 1980, it's during the apartheid era. One of them is a black South African and one is a white South African. One is a member of the special branch of the South African police force. He's a fictional character played by Tim Robbins called Nick Voss. Or Nick Voss, give me the correct pronunciation.
Voss.
Yeah. And the other, played by Derek Luke, also an American actor, is Patrick Chamuso, a black South African refinery worker. And on May the 29th, 1980, at the refinery where Patrick works, the ANC make a sabotage attempt to destroy the oil refinery at Secunda, an important refinery for South Africa, because with the sanctions against apartheid and without a local supply of oil, the coal-to-oil technology that's used at the Secunda refinery is very important for keeping the cars of South Africa on the road at that time. ANC wants to make a symbolic attack, and in the days after the attack, Patrick Chamuso, because this is a real story, was rounded up. He had access to many parts of that plant. He had suspicious movements on the night of the attack. He was imprisoned because they felt that he had aided the terrorists, as they were called in that day. And this incarceration, the imprisonment of his wife, turns him from a man who is happy to take the little piece of happiness that he's able to get, the company house, the prosperity, which was quite good for a black South African at that time,
yeah.
A good job, you know, well respected by the company that he worked for. He is willing to give all of that up, leave his wife and family, and like millions of the young South Africans at that time, he crossed to the border states to join the African National Congress. And in his case, he offered himself as a soldier. He wanted to join MK, the military wing of the ANC, and he proposed to them a plan. I know the Secunda oil refinery like the back of my hand. I helped to build it. I know how to destroy it. Let me go on a solo sabotage mission. And what happens next, come and see the movie.
Absolutely. What was it about the story that inspired you to make this film?
Well, you know, it wasn't so much those events, although, you know, they form the body of the film. Mm. And those events describe a bitter racial conflict from which there seemed there would be no solution back in those days.
Yeah.
Two sides, both believing that they're right. White South Africans, and particularly Afrikaners, who had come to Southern Africa centuries before that time. Men and women who identified themselves as Africans, sometimes referred to as the White Tribe of Africa. People who felt that they had devoted their lives to to founding businesses, farms, institutions that ensured that South Africa was the economic powerhouse, as it is today, of Africa. People who felt that there would be chaos if majority rule came to that country, despite the fact that apartheid was an oppressive system of government. They felt that in the face of communism, which had overtaken Angola and Mozambique, they had to fight to hold on to the capitalist system and the system of government that may have been inequitable, but they thought was right. Mm. On the other hand, of course, you had black South Africans feeling oppressed, with lacking in rights, lacking in opportunity, and they were willing to stop at nothing to achieve majority rule. That's an incredible cauldron of conflict. The amazing thing about this story is also the miracle of modern South Africa. Everyone predicted that if black South Africans ruled, there would be chaos. That, like we've seen in the recent history of Zimbabwe, there would be retribution on a large scale, that the rule of law, the rule of property ownership would not be honored, that there would be anarchy. And, of course, a miracle occurred. One wise man emerged from seclusion in a prison cell, came out and united the country. Now, the story of Patrick Chamuso, the real-life hero of this story, is also the story of the larger miracle of South Africa, a miracle that's still in the making, because we all know that the country has many, many problems, social problems, economic problems, problem of HIV, which has unfortunately got out of control, many problems. But South Africa has shown the rest of the world that it is possible to heal from wounds, never to forget the past, but to move on, that it is possible for people of different ethnic origins to live together, to make a country, to join together. I think that's worth making a movie about. The story of Patrick Chamuso illustrates the ability of all South Africans to move on from the past.
Absolutely. While casting for the film, what made you decide on Tim Robbins and Derek Luke? Because they did the job very, very well.
Well, you know, for the part of Patrick Chamuso, a Shangaan South African born in Mozambique, coming to South Africa like his father to work in the mines, I needed somebody who would never show hatred, would never show the need for revenge, that a man who was willing to give up everything for a greater good, a man who was a reluctant warrior, a reluctant soldier, a man who felt that he had to sacrifice for a greater good, someone who wasn't an action hero type of guy. I needed someone with the dignity of a black South African, real dignity, but strength. I needed someone who had emotional power in his performance, and I found that in Derek Luke. I would have preferred to use a South African. I tried many of them. There are great actors there, but in the end, I chose the man who I thought would be best for the role for a wide audience, and that was Derek Luke. Tim Robbins, we've seen the portrait of the white South African cop in many movies. Even when that character has been played by a South African actor, generally it's been a bit of a one-dimensional sort of stooge. Straight out, you know, bad guy, one-eyed, racist, you know. A stereotype. You know, I think that... I don't think I've ever met a police officer in the world who didn't join up but to do good. They all join up to do good. And I think it's too easy to show that stereotypical white South African cop. We're sick of that character anyway, you know?
Yeah.
In movies, I mean. And, you know, When I met, as I did, so many former special branch police officers, you realize that these were, in many ways, an elite, like the FBI or the CIA. These are not ordinary beat cops. They're smart guys. They were engaged in espionage activities. You know, they had to use their wits. And they're sophisticated people. You know, some of the best and the brightest young white South African men and women, mainly men. And, you know, they were politically aware. They knew the complexities of the situation. They knew the inequalities of the situation. But, like the character I hope that comes across from Tim Robbins' performance, they're sworn to serve and protect the government of the day and the institutions and the laws and the legislation that they didn't enact. They are the officers, like every police officer, who has to, whose job it is to protect us, to preserve the status quo. What I wanted to do was to present a portrait of a man in conflict, smart enough to know that something's wrong with the system, as many South Africans did, white South Africans, but who nevertheless is trying to hold the line, trying to preserve, and it's arguable, you know, and I'm not justifying anything that anyone did from the special branch or any of the other branches of government of South Africa in terms of maintaining the apartheid system. But it's arguable that that the fact that the change to majority rule was delayed, as it was, actually was for the better, because the ANC leaders were able to benefit from the mistakes that occurred in other parts of Africa. They could look around and see that a transition to majority rule needed to be done in a certain way in order to have any hope of success. Again, I'm not justifying anything that happened in Vlakplaas or anywhere else. I'm just saying that history shows us that by 1991, South Africa's leaders on both sides could see the possibility of a successful transition as a result of not repeating the mistakes of other countries like Angola and Mozambique that descended into chaos for quite a long time.
Okay. One thing that occurred to me when I was contacted first to help out with the Afrikaans bits of the movie was, I think in South Africa, there's sort of this view, you know, that, how can I put this, it's sort of as a misguided view about apartheid. I think there's a thing about, you know, we also grew up in the system, and it'll just be a bunch of apartheid bashing. And I hope I'm rephrasing this properly. We grew up believing that Joe Slovo was a communist.
Joe Slovo was a communist.
And
there's no doubt about it.
And Patrick Somuso is a terrorist. This movie is now sort of putting it into context and also giving us more of an explanation of what actually happened there. Do you think this movie is sending a message to South Africa that there is actually healing happening?
Well, I have no doubt that there's healing happening in South Africa. Watch Parliament for half a day, as I did last Friday in Johannesburg, watched the parliament, and you'll see participatory democracy at its best. And, you know, what I saw was that all the hard questions were being asked by the white parliamentarians because they were the ones that didn't have to obey the party line. And their black fellow parliamentarians were respecting them because they were able to get away with asking some hard questions, you know, about law and order, about corruption, about very important issues for present-day South Africans. I think there is healing. I think the Truth and Reconciliation went a long way. It may not have given complete closure to those people who were involved in those events, but it gave a symbol that South Africa could share with the rest of the world. It was summed up to me when I went to my assistant's homecoming. She was graduating as a traditional healer, a Sangoma, in Soweto. And myself and my daughter went to the marquee that had been erected outside a mother's house in Soweto. And there were trance dancers and all sorts of things in this ceremony. and we were the only two non-black people there. And at one point, everyone was drinking and eating and having a festival. And this elderly black gentleman came up to me and grabbed hold of me tightly. He was quite drunk. And he looked me in the eye and he said, "This is why we went through the struggle. This is why. So that you and I could be here together to enjoy this together." And to me, that told me, reminded me of something that I kept seeing throughout South Africa in the 14 months that I was there. Pride. Pride that they've come through the bitter divide. Pride that they are in the process of creating a new democracy, a new country. Pride that they are never going to forget the past, but they are going to move on from it. And everyone that I met seemed to be imbued with that spirit of optimism, despite the fact that people do live in fear, despite the fact that the crime rate is high, despite the fact that the inequalities of apartheid, the economic inequalities are going to take generations to eradicate. You know, South Africans can dream together.
So, what would you say is the message that Catch a Fire is sending to South Africa?
I don't think South Africa needs to be sent a message. I think the rest of the world needs to receive a message from South Africa. The message is that we can move on. The message is that hate, that racial divide, that can be conquered. The message is that if 11 language groups can live together day by day, so can the rest of the world. That we care, and the message is that retribution, the cycle of retribution, can be broken. It is not necessary to keep on punishing your neighbour. It is possible for humans to draw the line and say the past is the past, now let's have a future together. And South Africans, white and black South Africans, have proven that. It's hard. It's a day-by-day thing, but they're proving it every day. And no one's ignoring, I'm not trying to ignore all of the problems that democracy has, but I think everyone is determined to overcome those problems, and white and black have joined together to do that. And I think that's a testament to both sides of the question. You know, the end of apartheid, maybe you could argue, was forced on the white minority. But in their wisdom or their folly, they placed all of the leaders of the anti-apartheid movement on one island. They placed them on that island in Robben Island, and they put them out there in the ocean. And every day there was a psychic connection between the 800 men on that island. There were some ordinary criminals as well. The 800 men on that island and the people down in Cape Town. Each could see each other. People who were waking up in that city looked out and knew that those people were there, and vice versa. There was an invisible dialogue going on, and I don't think that was accidental. There was a perverse experiment. It succeeded. So everyone should take the credit for what happened next.
Inside a shack on top of Table Mountain.
The ZA Show Podcast. The ZA Show.
Hey, I'm Glenn.
And I'm Bridget.
This is coming to you from one of the most beautiful cities in the world. A city situated at the foot of Table Mountain. Of course, it can only be Cape Town, South Africa.
Here on the ZA Show, we bring you the scoop on what is going on down here in Cape Town and the rest of South Africa, as well as our views on current events that influence us. We also visit some prime locations and bring you great sound-seeing tours, and not to mention some great interviews too.
We highlight what life is like, our culture, why we say braai instead of barbecue, what biltong is and how to make it, why we think South African wine is the best in the world, why we say yo lekker ish and do us, and to bring you some of the best Podsafe SA music.
Oh, and to give you many reasons why you should make South Africa, and especially Cape Town, your next travel destination.
Subscribe right away. Search for The ZA Show in iTunes or go to our website, www.thezashow.com.
While you were in South Africa, you worked with great South African talent like Marius Weyers, Michelle Burgers, Karel Frigaard, just to name a few. How was it working with these people?
Well, you know, there has been a change, of course, in direction in terms of SABC TV production and so on. There are still Afrikaans language programs and some of them, like Seven Delan, very, very popular.
Yeah.
A lot of those actors, of course, who were household names in years past are finding it difficult. My advantage was that I had such a reservoir of talent to work with. Mm-hmm. You know, Marius Weyers is, you know, I've seen him in so many movies over the years. Michelle Burger, you know, what an incredible actress, you know, so precise in her performance, you know. Doesn't appear on screen a lot, but we gave her a front credit because she's indelibly etched in the memory of anyone that sees that movie. You know, I think that there's just an incredible talent base there. Afrikaans-speaking, English-speaking, white and black actors, you know. There's a great theatre system in the townships. The Market Theatre, of course, in Johannesburg has always been prominent in bringing black and white actors to prominence. You know, I think there's a huge reservoir. It augurs well for the future of the South African film industry.
That's going to be my next question. Gavin Hood's Tsotsi took an Oscar for the best foreign film last year. So do you think the South African film industry is going to emerge and become a real contender in the international film?
Well, you know, the first thing that's bubbled up to the surface in post-apartheid times has been the music industry, because it's much cheaper to make music than it is to make movies. Yes. The Kwaito phenomenon has conquered South Africa and it's moving up through the continent. No South African artists really in the modern era, though, have gone international. Not as much as those artists, black and white, who left during the apartheid era, like Miriam Makeba and so on, Hugh Masekela. But, you know, I think that the thing about movies is this. Where there is conflict, there is drama. There is great conflict in the history of South Africa. There's conflict in modern-day South Africa as people try and continue to resolve the healing process. There's drama in the townships. There's drama in the conflicts between black and white that still go on as people try and move on. The country is full of dynamic stories. It's as dynamic as the diversity of the cultures. And, you know, you've got it all there. You really have. The technical expertise is there from the TV commercials industry that's been established over the last 20 years, particularly in Cape Town. You've got the equipment, technical expertise, the actors, and most importantly, the stories that involve conflict. You've got an incredible music industry. You know, I think it's just starting. And because South Africans share languages, and one of them is English, and you've got an opening into, you know, the majority film-going audience in the world.
I've read on the internet that some individuals are talking about some Oscar-winning performances by Derek Luke. Are you expecting some Oscars for your film?
You know, Oscars, any form of statuette, the golden, you know, spoon award, anything you want to call it, they're all good. I wish there were more. I wish there was one for every movie that was ever made on the earth, because they're good because for a moment a spotlight is shone on a movie. You can't covet it. You shouldn't expect it. It's good if it ever arrived, but be careful if you wish too hard, because probably you'll be disappointed. So all I can say is, you know, if anyone involved in this movie gets any recognition, that's great, but I'm not going to spend any time thinking about it.
When is this film due in South Africa?
The film will come out on February the 18th, 2007. It'll be distributed in all of the traditional theatres, but also we're hoping to try a little bit of untraditional distribution with mobile screening facilities around the townships. Of course, there are not many cinemas in the townships. There's one in Alex, run by an Indian South African, a big 600-seater, a wonderful big cinema. We'll try it there, but we'll also be trying to get it out where the majority of South Africans live. But, you know, if you're in Cape Town in the inner city or you're around Rosebank, it'll be on in your local cinema as well.
And the film is starting now in Sydney, in Australia.
In Australia, it starts on November the 23rd. Yeah.
Well, really looking forward to that.
Okay.
Mr. Noyce, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking with you. And good luck with your new projects.
Thank you.
For more information on the film, please visit www.catchafiremovie.com. I'm Philip Massain for Afrikaans in Sydney at www.afrikaansinsydney.com. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll catch you again next week.